Today we're building a flip on an Amen-style impact in Ableton Live 12, but not just as a one-off effect. We're turning it into a macro-controlled drum and bass weapon you can actually perform, automate, and resample into new material. Think of this as taking one classic chopped break hit, one snare crash accent, or one gritty old-school impact and giving it a whole range of behaviors. At one end, it's dry, tight, and punchy. At the other end, it's dark, wide, crushed, reversed, and ready to land like a transition tool or a drop accent. That's the goal here. Not just processing a sample, but designing an expressive impact instrument. Start by choosing the right source. You want a sample with character. An Amen chop works great, but so does a short crash, a snare kick combo, or any old break accent with some grit and transient shape. If it's too clean, it can still work, but in drum and bass, texture gives you more to play with. Load the sample into simpler in one-shot mode, or place it on an audio track if you prefer building the chain there. If the sample doesn't need warping, turn warp off. You want the sample to hit consistently and feel solid. Now build your core tone first, before you get fancy. That means starting with a clean processing chain. A good order is EQ8, then drum bus or saturator, then compressor or glue compressor, and finally utility, for gain and width management. With EQ8, clean up the low end with a high pass somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz, dip a little in the low mids if the sample feels boxy, add a touch of presence around 2 to 5 kHz if you need more attack, and tame any sharpness around 7 to 10 kHz if it gets harsh. The key here is not to overdo it. You're shaping the hit so it can sit inside a dense D&B mix. Drum bus is a great device for this kind of sound, because it adds density and smack really quickly. Keep the drive moderate at first, maybe somewhere around 5 to 25%. Add a bit of crunch if you want more attitude, use transient to emphasize the front edge, and leave boom low unless you specifically want low-end reinforcement. Then compress it lightly, with compressor or glue compressor. Aim for a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a slightly slower attack, so you preserve the transient, and a release that feels musical. You only need a few dB of gain reduction to glue the hit together. Utility at the end is there for level management, mono control, and later, width control if you need it. Once the dry version feels good, wrap the devices in an audio effect rack. Select the devices, group them, and open the macro controls. This is where the sound starts becoming performance ready. The rack is your instrument now, and the macros should behave like expressive controls, not random effect knobs. Here's where the advanced part really comes in. Use parallel chains inside the rack. Build three chains for starters. One is the dry hit, one is the dirty hit, one is the space or FX hit. The dry hit should stay almost untouched, maybe just a small EQ or tiny compression if needed. This preserves punch and clarity. The dirty hit is where you push things harder with saturator, overdrive, drum bus, and maybe a little redux if you want a lo-fi edge. The FX hit is where you add atmosphere with reverb, echo, auto filter, and utility. That separation is important. It lets the sample stay focused while still giving you movement and size. Now map your macros with intention. This is the part that makes the rack feel like a custom instrument. Don't think in terms of macro equals effect. Think in terms of behavior. What should the sound do when the macro moves? A good first macro is drive. Map it to saturator drive, drum bus drive, overdrive amount, and maybe a little redux. This should take the sound from clean to brutal. The next macro could be punch. Map it to compressor threshold or wet/dry, drum bus transient, and maybe a small EQ boost in the upper mids. That macro should increase the perceived smack and front edge energy. Then create a darkness macro. This is huge for modern drum and bass. Map it to EQ high shelf reduction, auto filter cutoff, and maybe reverb tone if needed. When you turn it down, the sample gets darker, more rolled off, and more tucked into the mix. That's especially useful when the sub and reese are doing the heavy lifting. Width is another good macro, but keep it controlled. Map width mostly to the FX layer using utility width, echo spread, and reverb wetness. Leave the dry hit mostly mono. That way, the core stays solid in the center while the atmosphere can open up around it. Bass can control reverb amount, echo wet/dry, feedback, and decay. Use that one for build-up energy, or for making the hit feel like it blooms before the drop. For a true flip effect, add a reverse tail macro. Duplicate the sample in a second simpler or layer, reverse it, filter it, and map its volume and filter cutoff to that macro. When the macro is low, you barely hear it. When it rises, the reversed swell sucks into the main hit. That's a really useful technique for pre-drop tension, breakdowns, and transition bars. Add smash as a macro too. This should push the chain harder overall, maybe by controlling glue compressor threshold, saturator output, drum bus amount, and even a limiter if you're using one as a safety net. Smash is the make it hit the front row control. And finally, air can bring brightness back in with a high shelf, extra top-end presence, or a little excited saturation. That's useful when the hit needs to feel more modern and present. Now let's make the flip more obvious by using sample variation, not just effects. Duplicate the original sample and make a second layer with a different role. The main layer is your punchy original. The flipped layer could be reversed, pitched down a few semitones, filtered, and given a longer fade or more reverb. Then map a macro to blend between them. Low macro position gives you the classic impact. High macro position gives you the warped, dramatic version. That's a very practical sound design move because it changes the sample's behavior, not just its tone. Auto filter is especially useful for this kind of movement. Put it on the main chain or on the FX chain, and map cutoff, resonance, and maybe drive to one of your macros like darkness or space. A low pass sweep can make the hit feel like it's closing down into the mix. A band pass can hollow it out for tension. A little resonance can add aggression. In an 8-bar build, an automated filter sweep on an Amen-style impact can sound like a proper transition device. Echo can add a subtle jungle-style motion too, as long as you keep it controlled. Try short sync times like 1/16th or 1/8th, with low feedback and filtered highs and lows. This isn't about turning the hit into a delay effect. It's about giving the sample a rhythmic tail that feels alive. Map echo mostly to space or width, and keep the result tight enough that it still works in a busy DN beat arrangement. As you build, pay attention to gain staging. Every time a macro changes, levels can jump. Check the output of the rack, balance the chains, and make sure you're not clipping unintentionally unless you want that sound. In a heavy DN beat context, a bit of controlled clipping can absolutely work, but it should be deliberate. A good target is to keep the rack peaking somewhere around -12 to -6 dB, if it's going into a larger drum bus. That leaves room for the kick, snare, bass, and master chain. Now automate the macros in arrangement view. That's where this really starts to feel musical. In the intro, keep drive lower, space higher, darkness darker, and baby let the reverse tail breathe a little. In the build, gradually increase punch, open the filter, raise echo feedback slightly, and widen the FX chain. In the drop, reduce bass, raise smash and punch, and keep the impact short and focused. Before a turnaround or fill, do a quick automation burst, open darkness a bit, spike drive, bring up space for a moment, and then slam back to dry right on the downbeat. That contrast is pure drum and bass energy. A few common mistakes are worth avoiding. Don't make the core hit too wide, or it can disappear in mono and fight the bass. Don't drown it in reverb. DNB impacts need air, not wash. Don't crush the transient so much that the hit loses its front edge. And don't map everything to one macro unless you really know what you're doing. Focused macros are much more playable and much easier to automate. One macro for tone, one for punch, one for space, one for width, one for reverse motion. That's a much cleaner system. If you want a darker and heavier result, keep the impact below the snare's brightest zone. If the snare already owns that 2 to 4 kHz area, dip the impact there a little. Use parallel distortion instead of destroying the whole main chain. That gives you a dry layer for definition, a dirty layer for attitude, and an FX layer for atmosphere. You can also add small pitch shifts to create menace. Even a layer, detuned by 1 to 3 semitones and tucked underneath, can make the hit feel more unstable and powerful. Once the rack feels good, resample it. Seriously, this is where the workflow gets really powerful. Print different macro positions to audio. Capture the dry version, the dirty version, the wide version, the reversed swell version. Then chop those into new hits and fills. In drum and bass, resampling is a huge part of building momentum, because one sound design pass can turn into an entire toolkit of transitions and accents. Here's a great practice move. Build 3 versions of the same Amen-style impact inside your rack. One is a dry drop hit. One is a build-up hit with reverse tail, more width, and more echo. One is a dark industrial hit with heavier saturation, narrower stereo, and stronger filtering. Then place them in an 8-bar loop at 174 BPM. Trigger the hit just before the drop. Automate space, darkness, and smash, and resample the result. If you can make one sample work across 3 different roles, you're thinking like a proper DNB sound designer. So the big takeaway is this. Don't just process the Amen-style impact. Design it like an instrument. Start with a strong sample, Build a clean core. Split it into dry, dirty, and FX layers. Map macros to musical behavior. Automate the rack and arrangement, and resample the results into new material. That's how one hit becomes a flexible, performance-ready sound that can move from tight and lethal to wide and cinematic to dark and reversed, all inside Ableton Live 12. That's the kind of workflow that keeps your sessions moving fast and your drum and bass sounding massive.